You are listening to the Mom Halo Podcast. This sweet ear candy will serve up laughs and aha moments as we talk to best-in-class thought leaders. These folks are dropping gems of genius. I'm Alana Kapitz, CEO and founder of the Mom Halo community. I'm a fun, fearless, freckled mom with three wild kiddos. I love to introduce you to ideas and people that will rock your world, all while laughing out loud, because that is the only way to get through the daily grind of parenthood. Plug in your earphones and let's get to them.
Dr. Robin Belwage's vision is to make a lasting impact on the field of children's mental health by leveraging her expertise as a pediatrician and author. Her vision encompasses a commitment to promoting children's mental well-being not only within her clinical practice, but also by extending her reach into homes and schools through her innovative products, including children's books, plush toys, and more. Through her books, she aims to address prevalent issues such as anxiety, bullying, and cultural inclusivity, offering practical guidance to parents and guardians. Visit dearmommy.ca or at dearmommy_3 on Instagram for more information. Plus, use code MOMHALO25 for 25% off your purchase of any toys or products.
Hi, everybody. It's Alana, and I'm here live in studio for the Mom Halo show with an amazing guest, Kieran Powers. And I can't wait for you to meet her. She is a OG member of the Mom Halo community, a fantastic businesswoman, and has an amazing story to tell. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Okay. So just take us to the beginning, who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So I'm Kieran, and I support families going through pregnancy and infant loss, premature birth, NICU journeys, and medical parenting. So I'm a grief and trauma coach, specializing in those things. I have a business called Beacon, which is named after my two sons, Beckett and Lincoln. Beckett passed away shortly after he was born, and Lincoln was born at 22 weeks and had a 4.5-month NICU journey before he came home. I named my business before I had my third son, Remy, so he's not included in the name, but it had Remy in 2022 via surrogacy. So I've kind of been through the ringer.
Have you ever?
Yeah, in my path to parenting, and that has kind of brought me to supporting other families going through this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what a fascinating story. I've known you for some time, so I just remember those really early days when you were sort of creating the business. So take us back. I mean, obviously the line of your work is so important and meaningful and also hard. You do hard work. Yeah. Just take us back to day one. How did it all come to pass?
Yeah. So I basically, I started trying to have my own children, back in about 2015. Shortly after I was married, like less than a year after I was married, I was actually diagnosed with cervical cancer, stage one. So they caught it early. I had some fairly non-invasive treatment, to preserve my fertility. And then once I got the all clear, we were like, okay, we got to start this whole baby making thing. So, we actually referred to fertility clinics like right away, just cause they didn't know about recurrence, and, got pregnant quite quickly, but lost my first baby. I had an ectopic pregnancy. So lost my first baby and my tube, then went through IVF. My three boys were all conceived via IVF embryos. And Beckett, my first child, as I mentioned, he came prematurely after, my water broke early, and he passed away shortly after he was born, which was this, I mean, I'd already been through a fair bit, but yeah. Losing Beckett was this just like catalyst in my life. It changed everything for me. I am such a different person. I am now than I was then, you know, good ways, bad ways, all the ways. But it just changed me so much. And after we lost Beckett, I really started trying to figure out what was going to work for me in terms of like healing and moving forward, not moving on because you never move on, but moving forward and learning different ways that worked for me. You know, lots of people are like, oh, try meditation, try this, try that. And, you know, I tried all these things, but so many weren't a right fit for me. I had to really figure out like what worked for me. And through that process, what I learned was that telling my story, writing my story, telling my story, meeting other people, mm-hmm. Was the thing that for me that was most healing. And through that, and then Lincoln's journey and our journey with Remy through surrogacy, I was pretty public about telling our story and going through everything. And people would then come to me, you know, who just lost a baby or had a baby in the NICU or something like that. And they started coming to me and just like asking advice. It just kind of like organically happened. Mm-hmm. And that's when sort of the idea for Beacon was born, because I was like, okay, there's obviously a gap here. There's obviously need for support. People going through this, like all of these things are extremely isolating. You often feel very alone. You know, so many people don't know other people that have gone through things like this, and leaning on somebody else who has been through it and can relate is such a huge tool in like your toolkit when you're trying to get through these things.
My God, what a story. I'm not sure if I knew all of those pieces, so thank you for sharing.
We also lost a baby through surrogacy as well.
Oh my God.
We had Remy. So, you know, I think having been through so many different things, there's things throughout all of them that are commonalities, like the PTSD and the anxiety and like the things that come from it. Which is why, like, I try to support people going through the different things, because there's often also people who are in the NICU or going through fertility have also lost a baby. And it's not uncommon, unfortunately, to go through more than one thing.
Right. And I think what's an interesting moment for many parents is that, like, there's so many roads to parenthood.
Yeah.
And there's so many paths to where you are now. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your business. What is grief counseling? What's the coaching you do? Explain.
Yeah.
Who's your customer?
So, for my coaching, I work primarily with parents who, have either lost a baby, whether it's, you know, miscarriage, late term loss, that sort of thing. And then people who, are in the NICU or have graduated from the NICU, and then some medical parenting as well, because there tends to be a lot of overlap. Also, I do some coaching with fertility patients, primarily who have, you know, lost a child and are trying for their next child, because that's a whole can of worms of emotions that opens up. And what I really try to do through my coaching, you know, I mentioned my own healing journey. I've really tried so many different things on my own healing journey, and figuring out what's right for me has been the only way to kind of get through. And everybody's journey is so unique that what works for me in terms of managing my anxiety or, you know, coping with flashbacks and things like that is not necessarily going to work for you. So I could tell you, you know, this is what works for me, go try that. But like, if it doesn't fit into your life, if it's not practical and realistic for you, it's not going to work. You're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I really try to do with my clients is to help them figure out what is that thing or things that are going to help them to manage, you know, their emotions, manage, help them process what they've been through. What's that thing that's going to actually work and that they're going to stick to? Because that for me, like, I have ADHD, I'm, you know, like kind of all over the place. And if somebody tells me to do something, I'm not going to just do it because they said it worked for them. Mm-hmm. It has to be right for me.
100%. I find it's interesting, and maybe you can relate to this. As someone who's also been through some trauma, I mean, I couldn't imagine bearing a child, or the level of traumas you have to deal with and endure is Herculean, right? And you know, I find sometimes women like us who have been presented with these moments in life that nobody would choose, but you have no choice but to be the strength when you're in those moments. Do you have a hard time, you think, with people? I find this. People want to look away from this stuff. Mm-hmm. Speak to that. Go for that. Riff on it.
Yeah, there's something about, like, grief is probably the most natural and like common human experience, right? Like in your lifetime, every single person is going to lose someone. And when it's a baby, for some reason, it's like people always say like, oh, I can't imagine. It's like, no, you actually can. You just don't want to.
Of course.
And that is why it's so isolating. It's getting better, but there's still this like shame and taboo and all of this that it's like, okay, people just don't want to talk about it. They don't want to see it. And often people will be like, oh, I don't want to bring your baby up because I don't want to make you like sad or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thinking about this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like, you're not going to remind me that this horrible thing happened. But by acknowledging my baby or what I've been through, whether it's, you know, losing a child or going through something extremely traumatic with your child, like you have, like I have as well, you know, bringing it up isn't going to remind me. I don't forget. I never forget. I never will forget.
Right.
But it's going to make me feel less alone and like show me that you are thinking of me and you are acknowledging like this monumental thing that's the biggest thing in my life.
Right.
And that's one big thing too that I'm trying to do is just like, you know, shove it in people's faces in a way that's a little bit more palatable to them.
Right.
And to raise awareness because it happens to so many people.
Like, right.
So many people have a miscarriage, lose a child, go through a medical experience with their child, like go through traumatic experiences. It's so common. So why can't we talk about it? Why can't we share these things?
It's so interesting, right? And I find like you and I both are similar in this way as well. It's like your lived experience obviously informs so much of the decisions you make. Mm-hmm. But when it, you know, for you, it has impacted the career decisions you made. Like you built an entire business over your grappling with, you know, you've lost a baby. You had to bury a child. Like that's, it's for a lot of people, I think the hardest thing is it's the most unnatural order of life, right? Like you shouldn't ever have to, no one ever wants to have to bury their kid. And I've been to hell and back having to be on the brink of those things and never actually having to do it myself. So you have all my empathy, of course. But it's for somebody to then turn it into a power. Tell us how you did that. I mean, how did that work for you and how does it feel daily, like doing the work?
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit crazy that I've done this. It's like, oh, you know, as I said, like I'm never going to forget about my experiences, but like, I'm literally like living in them all the time. But for me, I mean, I did work in healthcare and I still do for, you know, over a decade. So I understand the healthcare system and how to navigate it. And I've also been through so many of these experiences that, you know, I can help people with that kind of piece. And I think for me, it just specifically with Beckett dying, I didn't get to be his mother in the way that I expected.
Right.
So for me, doing this is a way of being his mom and honoring him and his life.
So nice.
And honoring, you know, the journey of my other two boys as well and my journey as well.
Yeah.
But I think that is really the catalyst for it is that I don't get to be Beckett's mom in the typical ways, but this is a way that I can make him known. Again, sort of like I'm shoving him in people's faces too, right? Like, even though he's not here, he's still my son. He's still important.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my way of, you know, honoring that and bringing him, weaving him into my life and the life of the people I care about and the people that I support.
Right. Do your other, I don't remember the ages of your other children. Can you remind me?
Yeah. So Lincoln will be 6 in May and Remy will be 2 in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Did they know about Beckett?
Yeah. So Lincoln very much does. We talk about him a lot and we celebrate his birthday every year. So now Lincoln's old enough that he can be kind of involved in that. Like we make cupcakes for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's part of all our holidays with our families and stuff. He has his own stocking at Christmas and all of that. So we talk about him. We used to, you know, we would used to say goodnight to him at night and I would say, oh, let's say goodnight to Beckett and the stars. And what was interesting about that is when our surrogate was pregnant with Remy, Lincoln got really confused because he was like, oh, so is Beckett coming back from the stars? And I was like, whoop,
Oh my gosh.
So that was when I was like, okay, I have to be really like clear.
It's specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was when it turned from more of this abstract thing about Beckett to like really speaking to him about what actually happened mm-hmm. and the fact like what death is and right. all that. So yeah, he's a big part of our lives. And, you know, I have an urn with Beckett's ashes and Lincoln knows that that's what that is. And he's aware. And as he grows older, it'll morph again. And then we'll bring Remy in a little bit more. He's too young to understand.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. We keep him 100% a part of our lives.
Amazing. Sure.
For parents who are committed to raising resilient musical kids, the Lane School of Music is ready to help your child harness their inner musician. With piano, violin, cello, guitar, ukulele, and voice lessons, each child can find an instrument that lets them shine. Our expert staff will guide you in choosing an instrument, finding a teacher, and getting the things you need to start your child on their musical journey. Music lessons at the Lane School of Music are always fun and tailor-made for each individual mini musician. Book your free trial lesson today at laneschoolofmusic.com. That's L-A-N-E, schoolofmusic.com.
I think that's beautiful. And I think that's so, it's such a good, like, that story, I think, encapsulates exactly how kiddos experience sometimes understanding, but not always understanding or knowing or not knowing about death. We talk about death and dying a lot as well, because Henry, as part of our palliative care reality, for those of you who don't know, I have a son who's medically fragile and very complex and nearly died 8 months ago and didn't. But going through that experience was traumatic for me for the first time to understand how kiddos experience grief. So I'll maybe explain to you what I know. And as a grief counselor, you can explain what it is. So my understanding about grief based on my palliative education from the palliative team at SickKids is that adults, when they feel grief or drowning or just drowning, it's like all encompassing. We can't get out of it. Sometimes you get a life raft and you can jump onto something, but the grief is just all around you all of the time. And the way kiddos experience grief is like a puddle. They jump in, they're in it, and then they jump out. So I found it with my kids. You know, my daughter Essa is completely aware. She's 5 years old, and through this whole process with Henry and continues, is like, is Henry going to die? Did Henry die today? I'm like, no, Henry, today is not the day that Henry died. We'll all die one day, but today is not the day. And then she's like, oh, rainbows, unicorns. Like, it's like the next thing. So they don't swim in grief. They jump into it and then they jump out of it.
Have you ever heard it explained that way?
Okay.
That's such a good analogy. Like, I love that. And I think with kids too, sometimes it's like shocking the way they, you know, process and talk about these things. Cause it is like that. It's so blunt. And like 1 second it's like, oh, he's dead. And Lincoln will, you know, go and tell strangers and they're like, oh. And it's interesting watching, I don't know if you've experienced this with your kids, but like watching people react to his bluntness about his brother being dead.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, it's like, it's just a matter of fact, like his brother isn't here and we've managed to make him part of our lives without him being here.
Right.
But to watch other people and adults' reactions to it, people don't, it goes back to what we were talking about before. Like, people just really don't know how to handle other people's grief and emotions and that sort of thing.
Of course.
Watching this with a child is, you know, interesting. Like, I've had to, with him being in school now, I now know to tell teachers at the beginning of the year that he has a brother that died. If he brings him up, like, this is true. Like, don't try to like dissuade him from this. This is true. We talked to him and stuff, because mm-hmm. there was an experience where he brought it up and, you know, a teacher was sort of being like, oh no, like only older people die and that sort of thing. It's like, well, mm-hmm. that's not actually true.
Right.
Yeah.
We talk about death a lot. And it's, I think for us in our life, it's interesting because most people don't have to. It's a hard conversation to have with a kid. It's a hard thing for parents to have to do. Is that I find for me, and maybe you can relate to this too, like, we try to use some strategies in explaining to kids at their level about mm-hmm. this conversation. So there's a great book. I'm sure everyone knows about it, but maybe not. It's called The Invisible String. Mm-hmm. And we use this book, and it basically depicts this mom explaining to kiddos, like, when you're far away from me, if, you know, you can send your love to me with an invisible string. And it sort of ties to people, like, mom's at work, you're at school. And then it sort of says, like, you know, uncle, whatever, in the sky, can I send him who passed away, you know, invisible string. So it's sort of like, you know, you can send your love to those who are no longer with us. And I probably read this kid, the book with my kids in May and June when Henry of 2023. But now my daughter will always be like, mom, my string's not working. Like, it's not, I'm like, who are you sending it to? He's like, I can't tell you. I was like, okay. So the fact that these tools, they really cling on to. Are there any tools you use in your toolkit with your kiddos around grief at their level and language, or when you're coaching people to explain infant loss or child loss?
Yeah.
Where's your go-to?
With my kids, I mean, again, mostly Lincoln because Remy's a little too little, but it is really just, I think that experience with him saying the whole, like, oh, is Beckett coming down from the stars, and thinking that Remy, because, oh, you're going to have a little brother. Oh, but I already have a brother. Like, mm-hmm. That was just a big thing for me of like, okay, yeah, he's a kid, but also like he needs to be told in plain words at his level, but like tell him the actual truth. And so I'm very, very honest with him about all of it and talking about it and just being like, you know, we talk about our feelings and all that. We have a couple books, you know, that are great as well. And then just having things around and incorporating Beckett into our lives. With my clients, mm-hmm. as I said before, like I have, you know, a bunch of tools that I will say like, oh, maybe this or this. But again, like it's grief is so unique. Grief and trauma and how people deal with their emotions and how like I'm an open book and I will like blurt my shit to anybody who wants to listen. But not everybody's like that, right?
Right.
So it's really important for people to be able to have the space and time to figure out what works for them, which is, yeah, kind of, I think, like the biggest thing about my coaching practice, because I've done lots of therapy and lots of different types of therapy and seen lots of different people. And, you know, there's so many tips and tricks and resources and tools and things out there. So I can like provide that library, but it's really about figuring out like what fits with your life. And I find one of the best ways to get to that is talking about like the before. So say we're talking about, you know, before somebody had a baby in the NICU, like what were the things you did to deal with stress or like that sort of thing? And then kind of trying to adapt those to the now.
Yeah, I love that so much. Is there a go-to practice that you have to manage your own personal grief? I mean, besides creating a business and, you know, sort of being a maven to connect people to information and supporting them. How about you for your own personal practices?
Yeah.
What works?
I have a couple that are very different, which is why they work for me, I think. So mm-hmm. One is writing, and specifically I write like about my experiences and, you know, how I'm feeling in that moment and that sort of thing, like journaling, but also like writing. Like I've written some things, haven't put it anywhere yet, but just like written out our story and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a huge thing for me, because with my PTSD and whatnot, I would replay things over and over in my head.
Amen, sister. Preaching to the choir. Yes.
And for me,
yeah,
getting them literally out of my brain
mm-hmm.
by writing them down
yeah.
is what has kind of helped me in that. So like mm-hmm. I used to have extremely vivid dreams and like flashbacks in my dreams. And so literally if I woke up in the middle of the night from a dream, I had a notebook by my bed and I would write down the dream to like actually get it out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. But what I then started to find after, you know, a couple years or whatever, was that like, that was great and helpful for me, but also it's very rooted in my trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So then I found that my new outlet is DIY. So I learned how to use power tools
mm.
and I like to just like you know, go at something in my house and make something and use power tools and do that. And that,
love it,
because it's fully unrelated to my trauma. So having those both kind of complementing each other for me has really worked well.
I love that. I'm with you, man. Like, in every way, the post-traumatic stress disorder and the looping of moments was haunting me for so long that I had to take matters into my own hands and find alternative ways to deal with it. And I have, which I'll save for another podcast interview, because it's an entire area that I haven't really ever discussed publicly. But I think for me, it was an aha moment in healing and closing the loop that, like, I can see it, but it's not, and I can bless it, and then it moves on. So it's not necessarily looping the way it once did. Yeah. It's really fucked up reality, you and me. I mean, we're a small club of people, but there's a club nonetheless.
There is a club. It's a really shitty club, and it sucks. And it's funny because I'm so happy that I am doing this and that I can support people. It's really important to me to do that. And I know there's a need, but I also hate it. I hate that there's a need. And whenever, you know, if somebody refers somebody to me or somebody finds me, and it always feels so weird to be like, I'm so happy to meet you, because I like meeting new people and I love talking to people, but I wish I wasn't meeting these people, because meeting them means that something awful has happened. So it's I'm glad to be doing what I'm doing, but I wish that it wasn't needed, but it's always going to be needed, and people are always going to need support, and, you know, the resources need to be there in order to help them.
I love that so much. I'm wondering perhaps if you can give us a small snapshot. Is it group counseling you're doing, one-on-one peer counseling? What's the actual offer that you have for your counseling?
So I have both. I do one-on-one coaching, and I've actually just recently launched a group coaching program for parents of preemies. It's called the Preemie Parent Collective.
Cute.
So that is sort of my first group coaching offer. It's a 12-week program, and it combines weekly group calls, some one-on-one calls, and some expert support as well. So we'll have some experts coming in to talk about things relevant to people going through a journey with their preemie, whether it's nutrition or sleeping or development. So that's my new group coaching program, and I plan to launch other ones. So I'm planning to launch a group program for people who've gone through late loss and early loss as well.
I mean, or cervical cancer or IVF or surrogacy. I mean, woman, you literally, your resume is long and deep and intense. So I feel like we just scratched the surface. You should have a podcast. Do you have one? Are you thinking about it?
No.
Have you ever thought about it? I found it, it's one of my favorite things to do. I love just sitting here and talking to people. And also, since COVID, I only did it virtually, and now we're back live 4 years later. And live is so much nicer because you get to actually have a dynamic. But I think your work is holy and very much needed. And I find, as somebody who has also been navigating, you know, medical complexities and illness and grief and all this stuff, women's, you know, maternal mental health and matrescence and the journey of becoming a mom, is still completely underfunded and under-resourced, and there should be grief counselors, and that should be your business card on lots of people's tables, you know? And you obviously have such a specific niche, but a wide niche.
And I do have a specific niche because, one of the things I think that's unique about what I'm doing is that I have been through it, and I tell people that I've been through it. You know, when you go to therapy and stuff, you have no idea anything about your therapist, which is its own model. But I think what really resonates with people is that, you know, when I'm in a session with somebody, I'm not talking about my experience, but they know that I can relate.
Right.
And I think that makes a big difference in the connection. And it's really important, I think.
I love that.
And yeah, I think like, so the other thing that I'm starting to do too is doing some work with healthcare providers, like healthcare professionals as well, in terms of like the role they play in the story that these families have. And so like around their communication and the things they say, and because that can also be extremely traumatic when, you know, you have a healthcare professional who's maybe not super versed in the in the words of, you know, grief and that sort of thing. And
yeah,
and that can be re-traumatizing. So working with them on like some education and that sort of thing as well.
I love that. Well, if people want to work with you and find you, can you just share your coordinates with everybody, please?
Yeah. So I'm in Toronto, but, you know, I have clients from all over Canada and the US, like I can, I work wherever. My website is www.beacon.com. Beacon is spelled BECOLN, because as I mentioned, it's Beckett and Lincoln. Yeah. And I'm on Instagram at beacon underscore. Yeah, I have some products too for people, just to help with sort of comforting products for people in the NICU or who've lost babies. So
yeah,
reach out anytime. I'm here to support anybody. And, you know, if you're also looking for how to support somebody going through these things, like, I mean, that's a huge thing too. So
I love that. Please, yeah, please go check it out. Thank you for being here.
Thanks,
and being so nice to see you too. Thank you for being so candid with us. Please go check her out. We'll link everything in the show notes. And I continue doing your work. It's amazing. I love your tattoos, by the way. Oh, I can't stop staring at them. Are they new? Tell me your tattoos.
These are each of my boys.
Oh, they're so nice. Tell me.
So each has a symbol of, each has a symbol of light. So Remy's the sun. Lincoln's the lightning bolt.
Oh, I love that.
And Beckett's the stars. Okay. And it's their birth flowers.
I love that. Yeah. So cool. They're so pretty. I'm also taken with just like fine line tattoos exactly as they're placed in that exact.
Yeah, I'm obsessed.
I love your locations. They're beautiful and super meaningful. Thank you for being here today. Bye, guys. Till next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Mom Halo podcast, I'd love your support by sharing it with others, posting about us on social, or leaving a really good rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at the Mom Halo. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next time.
We're recording today's podcast at the Collective Workspace in North York, voted one of the top 20 co-working and event spaces in Toronto by BlogTO for 2024. This gorgeous space is perfect for drop-in day passes, a long-term office suite with rentable boardrooms available on demand, and even an event space for your private and corporate event rentals. Check them out now at www.thecollectiveto.com or on Insta at The Collective TO and book a tour.